The scream was definitely a human voice, but it was unlike anything I'd ever heard. The only way I can convey just how disturbing it was is to say that it fully expressed the way I was feeling. I even wondered, in my panicked and addled state, whether it might have escaped from my own throat. The scream had the effect of making everyone stand still. They were no longer attacking me, no longer fighting to get within kicking distance. Instead, all stood around trying to figure out where the scream had come from and what it portended. I rolled over on my back. A space had opened up around me. Around me, that is, and a shaven-headed man in a red t-shirt. He stepped toward me and drew something from his pocket that rapidly became large. A sphere. In a second, he had expanded it to about 5 feet in diameter, leaving it somewhat flaccid. He doubled it over me. My head and feet stuck out to either end, but the rest of me was shielded against further blows, at least as long as this man stood there holding the sphere in place. A gust of wind could dislodge it, but he took care of that by vaulting to its top and perching on it, a precarious pose even when you attempted it with both feet. He, however, was placing all of his weight on one foot, leaving the other drawn up beneath him. Sometimes, when we'd been younger, we had tried to stand on our spheres as a kind of childish game. Some adults did it as an exercise to improve their balance and reflexes. This seemed an odd time and place for calisthenics, though. It did have the useful side effect of leaving the people around me even more nonplussed than they had been by the scream. But after a few moments, one young man spied my head, a tempting and obvious target, and stepped toward me, drawing back one leg to deliver a kick. I closed my eyes and braced myself. Above me, I heard a sharp percussive sound. I opened my eyes to see my attacker falling backwards. A second later, moisture sprayed into my face, a shower of blood. A few small pebbles or something rattled to the pavement nearby. Blinking the blood out of my eyes, I perceived that they weren't pebbles, but teeth. Another scream emanated from the edge of the crowd. This one was altogether different. It came from a person who was experiencing an amount of pain that was incredible, in the literal sense. His scream sounded surprised, as in, "I had no idea anything could be as painful as whatever is happening to me now." This got the attention of everyone except for one geith who was coming toward me and my protector with an odd fixed grin on his face, drawing a knife from his pocket and flicking it open. This time, I got a better view of what happened. The man perched on the sphere above me faked a snap kick with his free leg, and the other waved his knife at where he supposed the kick was going. But before he even knew how badly he had missed, my protector had grabbed the hand holding the knife and twisted it the wrong way. Not simply by flicking his wrist, but by jumping off the sphere and doing a mid-air somersault over the attacker's arm, whose joints and bones came undone in a series of thuds and pops. The sphere rolled off of me. The knife fell to the ground and I tried to clap my hand down on top of it, but too late. My protector kicked it away, and it flew over the brink of the canal and disappeared. I was unshielded, but it hardly mattered because the crowd had all moved in the direction of that horrible, astonished screaming. I pushed myself up on hands and knees and got to a kneeling position. The source of the screaming was an adult male geith who was being held in some sort of complicated wrestling grip by a shaven-headed woman in a red t-shirt. A similar-looking man of about 18 was standing at her back, efficiently knocking down anyone who approached. By the time I came in view of all this, the mob had begun to hurl stones at these two. My protector abandoned me and slipped through the crowd to join the other two red shirts and help bat away projectiles. They began to retreat. Most of the mob went after them, but some began to edge away. Throwing stones at a lone avowed might have been good sport for them, but they wanted no part of whatever was going on now. I turned, thinking I might just get out of here now, and found myself staring into the eyes of the geith leader. He had a gun. It was aimed at me.
"No," he said. "We haven't forgotten about you. Move."
He gestured with the gun in the direction that the crowd seemed to be moving. They were slowly pursuing the retreating red shirts down the edge of the canal toward a more open place 100 feet away, a square where two streets met at canal's edge.
Turn around and march, he commanded.